Well, today's message is going to be about motherhood. Go figure, right? It's called Gifts and Blessings. But today is truly a time of happiness and joy. Reflecting back on my own childhood, I realized that although my father was predominantly the disciplinarian, it was my mother who taught me discipline. And there is a big difference. While my father taught me fear, a punishment, reprisals for my actions, my mother instilled an understanding that discipline was necessary to succeed in anything you wanted to get out of life. And from a worldly view, and very early on, say buying my first car, it meant not just getting more money and putting in extra hours, but even tougher yet, keeping it, saving it, and the discipline necessary to do that. But it also taught me the discipline of relationships, family, friends, eventually spouse, children. It brings out dedication that's necessary, especially when you are devoted to God. My mom gave me that and much more. It seemed like my happiness was her top priority, and she would just make the biggest deal out of the smallest situation. You know, you buy a new old rust bucket of a car, and it was wonderful. Oh, look at the color. Oh, this is so wonderful. It's so nice. So even the smallest accomplishments was the biggest deal ever. And she was devoted to the Lord, and she received many gifts from the Holy Spirit that just shined through her. Now, before I get into today's message, I want to open up the floor. Is there anyone who would like to give some testimony in regards to their mom? Mary?
My mother just taught me the importance of allowing your children to be independent, to allow them to do things for themselves, to make their own decisions, even if they do something a little odd or wrong, like putting their clothes on inside out or backward. But you can't raise a successful adult if you don't allow them independence, and Mom taught me that.
Is there anyone else? Yeah, go ahead.
It's hard for me to really be honest when she sits next to me. But my mom is special in that I took her so much for granted when I was a kid. And as the years progressed, I look at her today, and she's remarkable for her age. She still gets around. She's a tough bird. And I love her dear. So thank you.
Remember way back when I was a fourth child in 5 years, my father was a milker. See if you can remember the laundry done with a wringer. You had to put the clothes through the wringer. You had to starch the clothes by dipping it in a basin. You hung up the clothes summer or winter on the clothesline outside. The pants came in and stood up by themselves. Then you had to iron everything. And we had, my mom did things like cooking for all the people, homemade pie, homemade cake. I mean, we were poor, but the food was better than anything I can cook now. So I thank my mom for just getting through the day.
Amen. Is there anyone else? Gary.
I have to say that I learned a lot retrospectively from my mother's weaknesses. She had some. Whereas my grandmother, who hauled me off to the church as often as she could, as often as she could get there. And she had a lovely woman.
Michelle?
It was not only my mom, but my
Praise God. You know, although I've reflected back in remembrance of my own mom, you know, it also brings me great happiness. Even though she's not with me anymore, I see many of the same qualities in my daughter. The loving, nurturing gifts that the Holy Spirit gives all mothers. It's a special love that's unique. Devoted women of God who are given special gifts of the Holy Spirit. True blessings that relate to everyone around them. Today we give God great praise for the blessings of our mothers. We also must realize and recognize that all mothers are not equal. There are many who are unfortunately are and were ungodly. The spiritual war surrounding motherhood, when studied in scriptures, only makes those with a loving, nurturing heart even more special. Gifts that are given almost exclusively to women. When you're not doing well, and there's those around you who will make the attempt to comfort you, nobody can do it like your mom. But today's message is on motherhood, and we will be looking at the good, the bad, and the ugly. A little advanced warning, there is going to be a few dark spots, but those dark spots only make God's glory even greater. His greatest triumph, of course, is yet to come. So let's start off with something a little light. The use of the word mother is often used as a metaphor in the Bible, and it describes both good and evil. In Ezekiel chapter 19, mother is used in reference to Israel, where the princes brought disgrace to her. It was used as a metaphor for the nation's sin in Jeremiah, in the book of Jeremiah, and in addition, it was used to describe cities as exemplified by the city of Bethmaka in the book of 2 Samuel. And finally, in Revelation 17:5, the term refers to a type of influence. Babylon was called the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. So the term mother can be used in many, many ways. These examples show the inception of places, things, ideas, and so forth. But it is the inception of it, which is where the term mother comes into play, as well as the nurturing growth of it. And just like human life, the place where real human life begins is with the mother. And with the mother, it grows and is nurtured. Now, still keeping that metaphorical use in mind, let's look at some very real people. Concerning ancestry, Eve, the very first woman in Genesis 3:20, was called the mother of all living. Obviously, she didn't give birth to everyone who ever lived, so it's a metaphor concerning ancestry. The greatest of great grandmothers, if you will. But let's add on another layer and talk about the blessings from God onto very godly women. Abraham's wife Sarah was blessed in Genesis 17:16 when God declared that she will be the mother of nations, and indeed she was, the greatest nation of which was Israel. And everything so far was to establish some key points that are going to be very relevant in moving forward. The first point is that the Bible uses the term mother to describe people, places, and things, as well as blessings. The second is that the use of the word mother can describe both good and evil. The third is that good, godly women that submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit are given a very special gift. It involves a very special love and nurturing quality. All of these things come from the possessor of all gifts, the Holy Spirit of God. We give God great praise for the blessings of our moms, the blessings of the gifts that they've received and that make them so special. Now, with those points established, as warned, we are going to get into a bit of a dark patch. We're going to go back to just after the great flood. A great grandson of Noah was born. He grew to be a very powerful leader and king. His name was King Nimrod. He led a great rebellion against God. He led the construction of a massive tower to reach into the heavens. Not the kingdom of God, heaven, but the astrological space of heaven. Nimrod and his followers were full of pride and wanted to make a name for themselves. The whole purpose was to worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. Nimrod demanded to be worshipped as a god king and establish a religion with a perverse connection to the fertility of man, beasts, and harvests with heavenly bodies. Immoral rituals were established to bring about good crops and harvests. Without getting into graphic detail, the immoral rituals were everything that the term suggests, revolving around fertility. This was the very beginning, the inception of all false religions, false gods, false idols, and false teachings, which spread to more false religions, etc. And if you haven't caught on, this is actually the story of the Tower of Babel, usually to discuss the curse that God handed down involving multiple languages in order to suppress the evil that was taking place. Unfortunately, there's a second part to this story, which gets even worse. See, King Nimrod dies, and his wicked wife, her name was Queen Semiramis, she takes over and greatly expands this cult that was established, demanding to be worshipped as a goddess, and through immoral rituals she took part in, she became pregnant. The claim, however, was that King Nimrod, upon his death, became the sun god, and through a beam of light from him, she bare a son named Tammuz, and she claimed that Tammuz was the reincarnation of her husband. Tammuz was then to be worshipped as the sun god, the moon god, the head of all gods, and the god of storms, rain, and lightning. Queen Semiramis then took upon many titles herself. Among a few, she was worshipped as the queen of heaven, the goddess of sex, Mother Earth, and something that we are all familiar with, Mother Nature. Mother Nature is not a fictitious character, nor a reference to God's perfect balance in his creation. Mother Nature was a real flesh and bone person, full of wicked pride and evil self-glorification. Understanding all of this helps us to understand that not only many religions throughout the Bible, but also many that are still being practiced today. There's one that I really want to focus in on today's message. After this, I promise the God's glory will shine through, and it will bring everything together. Greek mythology was a direct offspring of this false religion, complete with multiple gods, temples with perverse sexual rituals, and would bring about good harvests, grain crops. This was a culture well established through Greece. This wasn't just for a few, this was something that everyone who lived there practiced. The main city, which was the focal point of this religion, had the temple of Aphrodite, who was the goddess of fertility and sex. The city is Corinth. The temple housed over 1,000 priestesses of any age, both male and female. They were nothing more than prostitutes. The practices were accepted, and they were expected. If you were the male head of a household and had poor crops or harvest, you would be ridiculed for not going to the temple enough. Ridiculed and scolded, not only by friends and neighbors, but also by family and your own wife. See, this wasn't considered cheating. It was considered your responsibility. Now, to truly emphasize what the city of Corinth was all about, to Corinthianize meant to commit fornication. The term Corinthian girl was used in the writings of Plato in reference to a prostitute. And a common proverb of the day was, "Not for every man is the voyage to Corinth." The reputation of Corinth was very well established as a center point of immorality, corruption, and ungodly practices. Our attention now turns to a man who is traveling from place to place on one of his many journeys. He is led by God, ministering to many and sharing the gospel of Christ. It is none other than Apostle Paul, who makes his way into the middle of Corinth and establishes an early church, a church in the city I just described to you. Now, what do you suppose the chance of success would be? This early church was comprised of former idol worshipers, fornicators, adulterers, thieves, drunkards, and so forth. But former, they became solid Christians. They became Christian leaders, pastors, evangelists, disciples, and teachers. Become a church that would spread the gospel of Christ, in which a multitude of people would receive the gift of salvation. So how can so many hearts be turned in this otherwise despicable place? The ministry of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that were given. The absolute power of this love, understanding, guidance, forgiveness, nurturing, and instructing is enough to move nations, transform cities. Powerful enough to change the dynamics of the entire world. Powerful enough to save people from false religions established thousands of years prior. It is some of the same powerful gifts that are now given to our own wonderful mothers. They possess a love so powerful and true that embracing them, I would dare say, is the closest that anyone in this life could come to a physical contact in embracing the Holy Spirit. Share some of that love today to your moms, to the mother of your children and grandchildren, and don't forget the mother-in-laws, because they are very special too. Give glory to the Lord for all the blessings of motherhood and all the gifts we've received. And while we are talking about gifts, the wonderful gift of children. If it wasn't for children, there would be no mothers, would there? There is great importance to hand down Christianity from one generation to the next. If you remember the message concerning spiritual gifts, you would remember that one of the misuses of the gifts, possibly the greatest misuse, is to not use them. Over the past 200 years or so, we've seen a steadily declining group of Christians. The churches are getting smaller. The failure to pass down Christianity and Christian values is the result. Half-filled churches, closed churches. Bringing children to church is a very good thing, but it's not enough. They need to see your Christian values and see them outside of church, how you live, sharing God's word with them on a regular basis, and knowing how important truly God is in your life. The consequences are much worse than just empty churches. Chastening of God saved people to nations. God's judgment upon nations that universally backslid people happen. The city that King Nimrod built with the Tower of Babel continues to grow long after that story in the book of Genesis. That city remained. It remained while we read stories about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Israel's bondage in Egypt and Exodus and the promised land, that place continued to fortify. All through Judges and King Saul, David, Solomon, as well as the divided kingdom of Israel and all those kings, this place remained and continued getting bigger and stronger. This city became the capital of the strongest and most deplorable nation of the old world. This was Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. All started in the book of Genesis, built by King Nimrod. How big and powerful? The wall that surrounded the city was 80 miles long, 100 foot tall, and was wide enough to have three chariots right on top of it, side by side. 1,200 military towers, which rose up an additional 100 feet. The Tigris River flowed under the wall and into the city, which provided with plenty of water, and they had stored provisions to last them for 25 years. And surrounding that was a moat 150 foot wide and 60 feet deep, surrounding the river and the walls. It was a city like no other. Wondering what this has to do with children, church attendance, gifts, and Mother's Day? Please be patient. The result, The prophet Jonah, that was the city that God instructed him to go in. That's why he was so reluctant. This was a very evil city, but God forced his hand and put him there, and it created the greatest revival in history. 600,000 people came to Christ, or were saved. They repented and turned to God. But it was only 150 years later that another prophet named Nahum prophesied their complete and total destruction. It only took them 150 years to go all the way back to their evil ways, their evil practices, and they were so much worse. Nahum chapter 3, verse 19, there is no healing of the bruise, which means that after the destruction of the city, they would never be rebuilt, and they haven't been. In 150 years, they were prophesied and they were destroyed. I think it was somewhere around 30 years after they were prophesied, it happened. And the Bible says that the whole city would be dissolved. How do you dissolve a city like that? They faced a lot of battles against other neighboring towns and cities, and nobody could touch them. However, God wiped them out. Anybody here remember Hurricane Irene? Well, the Tigris River flowed through, and God made it rain. And there was a reservoir that was overflowing, and they released the dam, and it went right into Nineveh and went up against the walls and the temple and the towers, and that entire city was dissolved. There was, years later, Alexander the Great traveled through the city and didn't even realize that he was traveling through it. Didn't realize it was a city of any kind. It was all gone. Now, our country was founded on Christian principles. In 2 years, we'll celebrate 250 years. Over time, these principles have gotten weaker and times have gotten tougher. The city of Nineveh failed to hand down godly values from one generation to the next. The city that was so strong was leveled by God, never to be rebuilt. Now, I realize that one little church in Sand Lake isn't going to change this country or even the state or even our own county. But perhaps with some work and guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can be an example for others. Today is Mother's Day. It's a day to be around family. Show them the importance of having the Savior Jesus Christ in your life. Don't be bashful about using the gifts of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit has given you. And don't hesitate to praise God for all the blessings that you have received. I pray that you have a very safe and happy Mother's Day. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, please watch over the people that are here today. Guide them on a path that you would choose for them. Give them the strength and encouragement to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit to reach out to others, and that the love they have for you shines through for others to see and recognize. Lord, we thank you so much for the wonderful gifts and the blessings of mothers who are in our life. We pray all these things In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.